Good morning.
Really awful number 196. Matt and John, and special guest Amy, who picked this week's movie, Running Scared 1986. And I'm just going to go, I'll go to John. What'd you think of your wife's pick?
You know, it's funny. I think this is a movie I would have watched had I known it ever existed, right? We've seen a few of those movies where it's like, how did I not see this before? How was this not on TV? You know, you've watched a million shows on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, you know, replays. And I never saw this one. I never even heard of it. So it was really weird to you know, it was like that. Okay.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this movie, Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines are just phenomenal. They are great. Now, the rest of the movie's kind of shitty, but but those two guys pull it all back together and they turn it into a good movie, you know?
Ah, yes. Amy, what did you think?
Oh, the trailer looked good. But,
trailer.
But the jokes were subpar.
Oh.
The two main characters were what made the movie. Because all the rest of them, even though some of them were big time actors, I felt like it was their first time acting.
Which we don't mind that. I don't mind somebody who looks like they're a terrible actor. I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. That could be fine. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. We know when I was looking at the IMDb, did you see any of the trivia for this? Did you look at this stuff?
No, I didn't see the trivia. I was curious what it said about sex and nudity.
I don't have that down. I don't think it was I think it was like woman's bare buttocks is what I remember seeing.
Some side boob.
It said that this was originally for Gene Hackman and Paul Newman.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I did actually see that part. That was a little surprising, right?
Yeah. So then they wanted younger people, so it was Tom Selleck and John Travolta.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that. Oh, neat.
And it said Tom Selleck said no because he was doing his Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
And then John Travolta's agent didn't really like it for him.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that's interesting. And it said that they had a sequel called Still Running Plan, but neither of the stars liked the script.
Aw, that's too bad. There's another Running Scared movie. It's got Paul Walker in it, but I looked at the trailer and it has nothing. It's nothing like this one. So
yeah, I've seen that, and I actually like it.
They stole the title, but they didn't actually follow the movie.
That's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, he's not getting his brain taken out. I mean, but you know,
not going to get his brain screwed out. Screw your brains out, yeah. Denise Richards, so fabulous. We'll be seeing more.
Fabulous because you think she's good looking.
We'll be seeing more of her. Yep.
Oh, I didn't even hear John say that once. He didn't even say that once.
He doesn't have to.
You know, now that you mentioned it, you're right. I think she might be a little good looking. I never really thought of her like that.
Some men might like that kind of thing, John. You know.
I suppose some people. I get it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I thought was funny reading this, and I was like, I can't wait till we get to this part in the movie. It said that three suspension systems on Chevy Impalas were destroyed during the filming of the
Oh, yeah, train. We'll be talking about that scene. Oh, man.
Those poor cars. Oh, yeah, this is I have to say, this, you know, I didn't think this movie was awful, right? But I watched this in two different parts. Right? I watched like half and then half. But, you know, I like Billy Crystal. City Slickers is so great.
Right.
I love City Slickers. Oh, so great. But, yeah, they are detectives in Chicago. And this movie revolves around them trying to, well, let's just say they're not trying to arrest Jimmy Smith. They're trying to kill Jimmy Smith.
Oh, they're definitely out for blood there.
Him and his Mercedes. They're trying to get Jimmy Smith this whole movie. In between them banging a lot of chicks and not having any supervision and, you know, not really following any rules at all when it comes to being cops.
No, yeah, not at all. Really, barely, you know, qualify as detectives in this movie. But
can I just say, John, I think we've said things like this before. We're good friends, John. But if I know you're banging some chick, I'm not just going to let myself surprise you twice.
Oh my gosh, twice in this movie. Twice.
Oh, boy. The first time he walks in with donuts. The first time he walks in with donuts, and then he's like all over the place, like shutting things off in the dark. And I'm like, what the? And he doesn't even get upset. I'm like, if you walk in on me, I'm going to be like, livid. I'm going to throw something at you.
Oh, my gosh.
So weird. It was so weird. I'm like, I wouldn't do that to my brother, like, let alone. Like,
oh, boy. Well, I mean, I guess if you brought in donuts, man, I'd be cool with it.
Yeah. Got some tidbits for you there.
Got some Timmies. Oh, man. Come on in. Bed's warm.
I'll turn on a motorcycle.
Donuts you brought in.
Oh my gosh! What was that movie we watched where they were obviously banging, and then the girl, the person just sat down on her bed? It was so gross.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, there was one. They were making it, and this girl was, and she calls her friend over. Her friend comes over, and they were still, ooh, you know, making it on the bed. And then you gotta leave, you know. So the guy leaves, and then she just sits down on her best bed. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of gross. I don't know.
That was recent. What was I? Can't remember what that is.
It was indeed on there. Yeah, I remember the scene vividly. I can't pull it together with the movie.
Yeah.
Oh
boy. Yeah.
Was it Aunt Ethel's? Maybe was that Aunt Ethel's?
That might have been Halloween at Aunt Ethel's.
That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah, that's what
it was. It was a Halloween movie then.
Halloween movie.
It's creepy regardless. You're gonna
get grossed out, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's right. The guy who's always jerking outside the window. That movie. I think you're right. That movie.
Even that to Aunt Ethel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Even, yep. Mm-hmm. He made the horny list. Mm-hmm.
He made it. Yep.
Oh yeah, and he's got a motorcycle.
Room, right? That was kind of interesting. You know, I get it. Apartments in Chicago, there might be a few that are questionable whether those are supposed to be living spaces, kind of thing. And you know, in this movie, the beginning of it, it does a lot of shots of Chicago, and some of them are pretty neat. Some of them are, you know, not so. And it made me think of, we've watched a few movies with New York where you get some views of New York, like, oh, this is really nice. And then other views are like, wow, this is crap. And there was a lot of that in this movie where like, oh, this makes Chicago look really rough.
But then the opening scene, did you see the power walker walking by himself with the red shorts and the leggings underneath
it?
Like, there's way in Chicago anybody would be alone by themselves. There would always be too much going on.
That's true, yeah.
That was clearly a fake scene.
I gotta say, nothing stops those power walkers, man. You know, nope. I gotta tell, I'd be out delivering, it's freezing rain, they're out there. It's the blizzard, they're out there. It doesn't matter. They're always out there. They're going.
I'd like to know where they go ice fishing at in Chicago.
Oh, that's like Michigan, for sure.
I saw some ice fishers and I'm thinking, would the water be even thick enough in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. Cold winter, right off Lake Michigan, no problem.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we get start off, we get to see Chicago, we get a theme song. Did you notice that?
We love the theme song. Love them.
Gotta have that, you know.
I didn't write it down.
No, I didn't either. It wasn't that good.
Yeah. When it's really good, we'll write it down.
Yep. Then we get our first scene with Billy and Gregory, and they're shooting a little b-ball outside of school, and then a couple of guys that were, you know, they were up to no good. They started making trouble. Yeah. You know, in that neighborhood.
That neighborhood. Ooh, that's a rough neighborhood.
It was rough.
Yeah, it's something.
Did you see the two homeless guys that came up after he dropped his bottle of whatever he's drinking?
It looked like he was drinking booze,
and then he spit it out.
Yeah.
Found out it was like Pepsi or something.
Good old At first, I thought they were gonna play some baseball or something. You know, get the drunks together and.
Yeah, a guy could just show up with booze. He might bring his own fire truck. You don't know.
Yes, collectible fire truck. Maybe thinking about weirdest collectibles you've ever heard of. We did just finish a movie where a guy collected fire trucks. No, real full-size fire trucks. Now, I say trucks, but it might not be plural. I don't know. We only saw the one.
He's just starting.
Yeah, like a fire engine, you know?
He had an actual one?
Yeah, he said he was collecting them. Weirdest, yeah.
Why would you collect something like that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Was it an out-of-commission one? Hopefully it was an out-of-commission one, and he had plans to remodel it or something.
Seemed to work.
No, he took it to a fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Some people are just crazy.
Yeah, but if you were at a party and you're like, oh, how's it going there? And he's like, yeah, I collect fire trucks. Wouldn't you be like, tell me more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Most interesting person in the room. Absolutely.
I don't know. I think I'd ask him if he wanted to be a fireman. And if he said no to that, I'd be like, all right, I'm leaving the other room.
I'm leaving. So Billy Crystal is Danny and Gregory Hines is Ray, and Danny here and just invites himself into this basketball game. This is risky, John.
Especially, you know, I mean, I can get Ray doing this, but man, you know, Danny, gotta say it, man, white men can't jump.
Oh boy. Yeah, he didn't look like the smoothest out there, did he?
No.
Well, it's not even that. All those guys towered over him. Like, so he was going to get stopped.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. He ends up just getting punched in the face. I think that's a foul.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
They see what's his name? Julio Stink. Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Driving his Mercedes in that neighborhood, that's probable cause, John. That's what they say.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Wait a minute.
This Mercedes, we get to talk about it more later. But it really cracks me up because, you know, let's point out that Chicago's, I don't know, what do you want to say, a big city? Like a huge city?
Huge.
I gotta imagine you're gonna see all kinds of cars in Chicago. So to be surprised about seeing a Mercedes seems a bit unreal. Okay, this must be a bad neighborhood. But I don't know, man. Bad neighborhoods tend to have nice cars.
That's true. That. I mean, it's not like it's an alien car or something, you know.
Shapeshifting.
Yeah.
Shape-shifting alien person.
It does have a great phone.
The phone is great. No, we'll get there.
But yeah, so Ray and Danny, they put him away, and then he sees their faces, and he's got Snake with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Snake goes one way. And Julio takes off the other way in the car. So they go after Snake and his briefcase full of 50 grand.
$50,000 in a suitcase. I don't think it's illegal to have money. I don't think that's a problem. I got money, so what?
I'm never getting busted for having 50 grand, so I...
But he's got that, but then he's living in the like a shack.
Yeah, he's living in the hood with a $50,000 in a suitcase, right? And we're talking 1984 $50,000, let's remind you, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be like a million today, right?
At least. But yeah, they bust in there and they're trying to get him to talk and he won't. So Danny, he tells all the basketball players that Snake here, he's going to need some protection because he's got all this money.
Yeah.
And shitty locks. He's going to need some protection. And these guys are like, said, what?
Sounds like they were about to help out. I think they were going to help.
Oh, and they're trying to, they're like, we have no reason to arrest you. So he ends up trying to punch Danny, but punches Ray in the face. So then they can take him in.
Well, because he ducked.
No. Mm-hmm. There's this, so they're on the way to the station and they come across a guy who jumped off a building. Here and Danny to this street cop guy, John, when he said, why don't you go put your nuts in a microwave? I was like, that's pretty good. I like that one.
That would hit our weapons or kills list if we got to see that one.
So they leave Snake in the car handcuffed while they go check out this splattered guy on the sidewalk. But when they come back, he's on the radio, so they just punch him in the face. This is 80s cop work right here.
Yeah.
Just punching suspects in the face.
I like it.
But did you hear what he said?
It was great. It was great. Go ahead.
He said, there's a UFO landing on Michigan Avenue.
Yep. Calling all cars.
Calling all cars. And I'm like, a UFO on Michigan Avenue? What?
He's just having fun.
Well, I thought it was what he was saying that got him punched in the face.
Oh, they were going to punch him no matter what he was saying, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Probably.
So then, still trying to get back to the station, Danny's like, hey, I got to get to a funeral. All right. Aunt Rose.
Good old Aunt Rose. Yep.
And they take Snake with them. Thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Handcuffed him to Ray. They went and visited the funeral.
At the funeral we meet Danny's ex-wife, Anna.
Awkward.
But I don't know. I think they might still like each other, John. I don't know.
Oh, I doubt it. There's no way they're gonna get back together by the end of this movie.
Maybe. Oh boy, this after the funeral, when they're getting in the car and these two guys try to rob them with, I think the one guy's holding a stick, I'm not exactly sure what he was holding. They end up making the guys trying to rob them and run away. And they get into a sweet sting.
Yes, yes. But it was a beautiful 1969-ish Mustang. It was funny. He goes, you know, what's with these kids these days? He goes, it's the new bath. Drives them nuts.
Oh, boy. Yeah, trying to drive this Mustang in the snow, though. Oh, boy.
Oh, man, it broke my heart, though. Oh, they drove that Mustang, they wrecked it, they shot it all off, and I'm just like, oh, why?
That was something when, like, they're getting away in the Mustang, but I think it was a garbage truck gets in their way. So they turn around, and then Danny and Ray are just like, let's just blast the hell out of this car. They just start shooting the shit out of it. It makes them crash. Oh, boy. There's some weird transitions in this movie. Like, right here, all of a sudden, I was like, are we at a bar and these two are hitting on the same woman?
Yep.
I was like, what?
I like the pickup line was great. He goes, you know, some women like scars. You like scars? I got scars. I got a lot of scars, deep emotional scars. Oh.
But did you hear what Ray said to him? What did
he say?
When he was hitting on the girl, he goes, he's just working on his second ex-wife or his next ex-wife.
Yeah. You want to get married for a couple of days, you know, no strings attached.
There you go. Oh. Yeah, so then you're like, oh, well, I guess Ray's charmed work, because next thing you know, there they are in his apartment in bed, and this is where Danny just comes on in.
Danny walks on in, yep. But he did bring Dunkin' Donuts and some Dunkachinos, and...
Everybody wants my Dunkachino.
Dunkachino.
Can I just say, as a random coincidence, I just got some Dunkin' Donuts on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Tim Hortons has got the roll up to win right now. So, boy, not that I'd go anywhere else because I love Tim Hortons, but I'm there every day right now.
Oh, and can I just say, I thought this was interesting. When he's sitting on the bed with these two, he goes, how was she? And Ray says, she's friendly, I like her. That seemed a little strange to me. Is he going to say...
Just the right amount of information.
I thought it was a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little strange.
All their interactions when they're in each other's apartments are strange, though.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh.
Like, I'm sure Ray even kissed his ex-wife, several times in the movie.
They seemed very friendly. I caught that, too. They were awful. Huggy, kissy, touchy. Through the whole movie. Danny's ex at the station, she tells him she's getting married to a dentist.
Well, that sounds exciting.
How can you go from a cop to a dentist? That just doesn't...
Is that a step up or... I'm not sure.
I don't know. Well,
doctor, right? You gotta be smart.
Well, I gotta say, and I'm glad Amy's here because I'm gonna ask her this now before we get to the Key West scenario. All right, because I need a woman's opinion on this. Now, I can't say I don't know how I feel about how these two guys look. All right, but their mini vacation to Key West, they were banging all the chicks. So I just got to say, Amy, if these two guys were down there, you know, with a little money, are you hopping on a moped with either of them? I mean, are they that irresistible? I got to get your opinion.
You see them out on the fishing boat? Do you see them on that fishing boat?
The fishing boat.
Nice.
I mean, me personally, with these two actors, no. I wouldn't go there. I mean, they'd have to be really smoking hot for me to get on the back of a moped with them. And neither one of them fit that bill for me. So,
I'll wait till we get there, but it was just weird to me because there's this weird subplot of Ray banging this lady who has either a boyfriend or husband. I still
don't right know. Right yeah yeah we because we just meet her now, right? We just meet her for the first time with the Dunkin' Donuts interruption. But as the movie goes on, you're like, wait a minute, what is happening?
It's really weird, right? Well, anyway, so this guy shows up to the station. He's looking for Danny. Danny thinks of something bad, so he gets Ray to run interference. And it turns out Aunt Rose left Danny $40,000.
Yeah, thank you, Aunt Rose.
So now they're making all these plans. What are they going to do with all this money? Well, then the captain, he says the jumper's name was, did you get this one? Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson? What?
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. That's all I thought of. I was like, oh. Yep. He was a cop. He was drowned and then thrown off a roof.
He goes, you want to guess the jumper's cause of death? And he goes, deceleration trauma. How about cement poisoning? Look, that was good. I liked it.
Those are good ones.
Yeah, but then they totally changed their character when he said it was a cop.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Once they found out it was an actual cop, so they were like, oh, they sobered up real quick.
Yeah, they got to figure this one out. Well, then they tell Snake, they're like, well, yeah, I guess you can go. And he goes to get his stuff, and there's only $5,000. Not 50.
Like, it's your signature, right, Snake? It was. Got to read what you're signing for. Got to watch out. Them terms and conditions, you just smash the accept button. You don't know what you've just accepted.
Mm-hmm. You scroll. Oh, they're going to make him wear a wire.
This is the first time I've heard of them say, put a wire in your pants, though.
That's a new one. I wasn't sure what they meant there. Like, is the wire literally in his pants? Because I don't know how good of a sound you're getting.
And then he just stands there with his hands against the wall with his pants down around his ankles. And I'm pretty sure he had Mickey Mouse or something on his underwear. So they were like kid underwear.
Get some weird sounds coming from that.
I was like, I'm glad they just handed him the wire device and let him put it someplace instead of.
Yo, bro, your underwear talking? Your underwear making noise.
You in the jungle, I hear a lot of frogs.
So they follow Snake. Well, then, Jeff, we got a van full of Uzis. The bad guys go to the Uzi. A lot of Uzis in this movie. They're everywhere. Everybody's got one.
Mm-hmm.
And did you catch this one? And we've seen it a lot. The classic don't call for backup move. Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they say to each other, there could be 12 Uzis in the building, and they're going to go in the two of them.
Yep. With their pistols.
Oh, boy. But it turns out that Snake tricked Danny to coming in there. Then they get surrounded by Julio and his thugs.
You mean you couldn't trust Snake? Snake wasn't trustworthy? It really hurts my view on humanity, at least on that low end of the spectrum.
Come on, Snake. Oh. So, I didn't think this all happens. You know, there's a big gunfight here, but I didn't think Julio shot Snake. But they're saying he did. I guess he did. I know he got shot, but I was like, oh,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was Julio that shot him
right after he suggested giving the guys a Colombian necktie.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of that one before.
No? Oh.
No.
Yeah, Julio shoots Snake. There's a big gun fight. And it turns out there's two other cops undercover in Julio's gang that have been undercover for months.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. This is why you got to look at the paperwork, right? You got to, you know, come on.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably got an email somewhere told them about this.
Email? What's email?
What?
No.
They didn't do email in
1986, though.
No.
When they say you got mail, you actually had mail. It was, you had a letter. Spam.
You had a memo.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So Julio runs away, right? And this just made me laugh. You know, you think there's going to be a big old thing, but it turns out they catch Julio because his foot's sticking out of his hiding spot.
He was poorly hiding under a car or something.
Come on, Jimmy Smith. Come on.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, and then they just grab him like it's nothing. And I'm like, well, this guy is a big guy. Like, you chasing him for months, whatever, can't pinpoint anything on him. And then, like, you catch him in 3 seconds, something sounds off.
Nope. They're just that good. They really are. They're bad.
I think it was just dumb luck what it was.
Yeah,
yeah, they get old Julio. It was weird when the captain, and that captain guy, you've seen him in so many movies, I don't know his name. He was Cher's dad in Clueless. That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I just called him McNulty.
Damn it, McNulty. Next time somebody gives you an exploding ham. Damn it, McNulty. Where am I at? I lost my place.
The boss is, he's not very happy. McNulty's not happy because they screwed up the DEA's undercover investigation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, so he says they're taking a vacation. And they're upset about this. And I'm like, WTF, hold on. My boss says no on vacation. I'm going to simply go back to him and say, yes, thank you, sir.
Especially since he's in jail, right?
Yeah, right. I'm gone. Out. Goodbye.
Right? Yeah, it was kind of strange.
Go take a paid week off. Oh, fine.
And you're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. And then it's poof, they're in Key West. Bam.
Yep. Like, you know, face it, we're very smart guys. I'm like, I like that line. Yeah, very smart guys. They're in Key West. Beautiful, warm, not in Chicago. That's pretty cool. I've never been to Key West. That's a bit further south than I've ever been.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've gone down a little bit in Florida, but not that far south. I wouldn't mind going to the Keys.
I've been to Orlando.
Yeah. Orlando. I've been a little further than that, but yeah, not quite to Miami. That's not there. I didn't go that far.
It does look nice. I got to say, I think this is what you call a little bit of a montage, a Key West banging chicks montage.
It definitely was. It was a vacation montage. It was fantastic. Because they start off not very happy about doing it. They didn't really understand what was going on. People standing around staring at a sunset. What the hell is that all about? But by the end, man, they were into it. They were relaxed. They were buying stuff. They're having a good time.
They were skating in a bank.
Roller skating
in a bank. So
roller skating. Yes.
Yep.
We got moped riding, fishing boat riding.
Debauchery on the beach.
Oh, boy. Different women every time the frame changed.
Yeah.
I mean.
That one messed with my head because I'm like, are those the same girls?
No.
Or are these different girls in just different bathing suits?
That's what I said too, because at first I wrote down, oh, look at Ray, he's got a different woman. Oh, there's another one. Then I'm like, wait a minute, they both had different women. And again. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
They're studs.
Must be the badge. I didn't even think about the badge.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're banging all the women down there. Did you see it? And I have to say, I loved it. The boob shirts they're wearing. I thought those were great.
Those were interesting, right? Yeah.
I definitely get one of those if they're selling them down there.
First thought was back in the 80s, they made those?
Hell in the 80s?
Because I didn't think those came out until like the 90s or the 2000s.
Well, it made me think of like that Christmas sweater, big ugly Christmas sweater where it's like that hairy chest or something. That's what it made me think of. I'm like, oh, well, this is different.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I need to go down there. That's right. I need.
It does sound nice. So, Danny's like, how about we stay and be regular people? And he's like, nah, regular people suck. he's like, maybe, but they don't get shot at. Oh, that's fair.
Most of the time. But then they're like, well, we're just going to buy a bar and live down here and retire. And it's like, oh, wow.
And let me say for a moment, you know, we've seen some movies where you think to yourself, this has got to be the best acting job ever, you know. And okay, now only a part of this movie was shot this way, but how cool would it be to say, hey, we're going to have a good chunk of this movie shot in Florida and you're just going to play around on the beach and ride a boat, go fishing, and drink. And, oh, I don't know if I could do that one, boss. What a great job. Right? Oh. It'd be like filming the whole thing in Hawaii. You get to shoot Uzis and, you know.
Yeah, flying helicopters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, they showed them rollerblading out of the bank, signing documents. We got, they're back in Chicago. The captain's like, oh, they tell the captain they're playing. He's like, oh, yeah, well, Gonzalez made bail. How do you like that?
Oh, why'd you offer bail?
Yeah, right. Well, especially since he's been in there before. Right?
Right.
Did you catch this? Apparently you're a pussy if you wear a vest, is what they were getting at here.
Yeah, obviously.
For some reason. No, I just like to live, but. The cop giving him the vest is helpful when he tells them these aren't effective against getting shot in the face.
Good to know.
Locker room, when Danny's in the locker room and his gun falls out of the holster and shoots a mirror, nothing happens. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, that was, oof. Yikes.
But that's not Ray to go get one.
Yeah, then Ray's like, okay, I want a vest.
So then they got to go out and look for Gonzalez some more. They stop over at, what is this, a landlord who, does Gonzalez own the building, know her? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought maybe he rented from her or something, or...
I think it said management on the door, yeah, so she might have been the manager.
But then, I like the scene though, because, you know, Danny's asking her questions, trying to get information, find out where he is. And in the meantime, her little kid is just standing there flipping off Ray. Single finger, double finger, little flying bird, you know, just a little bit of everything. It was just fantastic. It was hilarious. I loved it. And then at the very end, Ray comes back and flips off the kid. I'm like, oh, thank you.
He gets down to his height and gives him the finger. I love it. You gotta make sure. You gotta get Ray down there.
These are the kinds of things in the movie. I'm like, that's where these two guys saved the movie because they were just hilarious. They had great chemistry, and they just had they did everything right.
Yeah, and they're gone for what, 3 minutes? They come out and their car's getting spray painted.
Yeah.
By these hooligans out here.
It wasn't even like good graffiti. They just wrote on it like undercover police car or something.
It said unmarked police.
Well, I think this is where they see Gonzalez's Mercedes and they're like, what do we do? So they paint a tow zone to get his car towed.
Smooth. That took a minute, right? You had to call a tow truck, you had to spray paint the curb, you had to wait for the tow truck to arrive. I don't know about you, whenever I need a tow truck, it's not going to happen in 2 minutes. It's going to be like an hour.
Yeah, you've never ever been like, well, that tow truck got here fast.
Nope.
I don't even know how a tow truck could get there fast in Chicago. They get run over by taxi cabs wherever they went.
That's true. Yeah, so they follow this little kid who they think he's a snitch for Gonzalez. So they follow him to a door, and then they just bust the door down. I like this police work here. I like that.
Yeah. You know? They had no real reason to do it, except a hunch. They had a hunch. They went with it.
No real reason. No warrant. How do you think
they knocked on the door? They just busted right in.
Busted in, yep.
Oh.
But, you know, it doesn't work out great because Danny goes in and then he's got his gun pulled. There's like four guys in there pulled their guns on him. And he's like, oh, that might have been a little hasty there. And then the Danny walks up and he's like, I'm sorry, Ray walked in. Then Danny walks up behind him and he pulls up his gun. Like, okay, now we've got a little more even. That's nice.
I think it happens in this movie, I think, a couple times. Where they are completely outgunned, but somehow they get guys to turn themselves in. It's very interesting. Okay.
He's like, all right, you're under arrest. Put your gun down. Like, Julio's in the other room. He's hilarious. He's like, just go ahead and kill him. And like, you know they're going to shoot me. You know, everyone's going to die. This week. He doesn't care.
Oh, yeah, so... They leave these guys. They chase after Gonzalez, who takes a hostage, and then he asks for, hold on 1 second, pants.
Mm.
Okay.
High stakes negotiations here in this hostage situation.
Pants?
Because he ran out of his girlfriend's apartment without pants. He was running down the stairs in red underwear.
Yeah, girlfriend was butt naked in the living room.
His girlfriend's underwear.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. So Danny tries to give him his pants, but he doesn't catch him. So then they make Ray throw his pants to him. Luckily, they fit.
Yeah. Luckily, both of them were wearing long johns.
Yeah, see? Got that Windy City winner.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Smart.
So I had to ask you this. Gonzalez takes their car. Now, did they leave the keys in it, or were they in the pants? That's what I was trying to figure out.
Good point. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, they left the keys in there? Like, no, you're right. He probably had them in his pants that he threw to him, and yeah.
Oh, that's bad police work. Oh, that's oh boy.
Not thinking.
Oh, boy. So I guess he gets away because next thing you know, they're at the station. The captain's telling them they got to train their own replacements.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. And their replacements happen to be the two cops who were undercover in Gonzalez's gang.
Aw.
And I don't know their names.
Yeah, I don't either. No idea.
Montoya and something else.
Oh, Montoya?
Yeah. One is Tony Montoya, I think, is the one's name. I think he's Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Tony Montana?
Joe Montana?
Montano.
Oh.
It only stuck because of that scene where they're in the later on in the movie where they're talking on the phone to them.
Yeah.
And he says their name, the last names, like over and over again, okay. In a weird voice. So yeah, it's stuck with me for some reason.
We talk about this, you know, if they don't use the people's names regularly in a movie,
Whatever. We call you other guy. Guy and gay.
Right. Yep.
That's what your name is.
Because that's like the girlfriends in the movie. I don't know their names, you know. We enough to know the ex was Anne or Anna or Annie or something, but
the other one was Marianne.
Oh, I'm impressed. I had no idea.
I'm impressed. But they have
similar names, so.
Yeah.
Didn't write it down once.
Nope.
I just said woman who has boyfriend or husband is what.
Yes. Like, it's big and right.
Yeah, I still couldn't tell if that was her husband or boyfriend or fiance. I'm
pretty sure it was a boyfriend. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's at the bar because it's Ray's 36th birthday. And I was like, 36?
Either 34, 36, something like that. Yeah.
He kept saying 34, but the other guy said 36. So.
Oh, God.
Apparently, guys lie about their age too.
See, this is how old we are now. You know, these guys in the movies are younger than us now. You know, I mean, oh boy. Oh boy. So they need a new police car, so they get a taxi that has bulletproof windows.
Yeah, actually, they borrowed it from Queen Latifah.
in that movie, Taxi. which is Taxi, which is number 154. She keeps her taxi in her kitchen, basically.
That's right.
in this movie, they keep a motorcycle in the bedroom. So
that's some similarities in this movie. I'm telling you. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was the bedroom or the kitchen.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The windows can't roll down, but they're bulletproof.
Seems like an interesting trade-off. that means you can't go like drive-through. You like as a cop, you're not gonna. I don't know.
Oh boy,
it's Chicago. I suppose you don't have as many drive-throughs, right? Probably not.
What? Yeah. Sorry, got you on. Oh boy.
Get it out.
Oh boy. There's a. So the other, they take this taxi when they're leaving the station, and they ram the car. The other two guys are driving.
Yeah, it was funny because right before that, he's like, "Something's not quite right about it. Something's not quite right." And he realized what it was. Is you've never seen a taxi with that doesn't have like. Bumps and scrapes and dents on it because taxi drivers drive like that, you know?
Yeah. But then there's no scratches on it. It's very strange. They hit this apartment and we get everybody shooting everybody. We got cops shooting cops. We got everybody shooting everybody in sight here.
That's what I wrote. Lots of shooting.
Yeah, and no good aims.
Yeah,
none of them had good aim.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a Star Troopers.
They all got bad guy aiming. It's real bad. Danny gets shot by the other cop in the vest. So they get a tip that Gonzalez has coke coming in on a certain plane. And then when they get there, turns out it's – I'm trying to think of that movie we did. Oh, God. I can't think of it. But turns out he switched planes. He gave this plane shitty coke, and the good coke's on the other plane.
Formula 31.
There you go.
That's what you're thinking of, right?
There you go.
Yeah, 51. Formula 51, right? Something like that.
Formula 51, number 127.
Because we found out that really was there was really nothing to it. It was just hype, and so they found the coke, but turns out the coke wasn't any good. It was just a diversion.
Mm-hmm. This Gonzalez guy's pretty smart.
He's a smart guy, yeah.
It was just enough to set the dogs off, and that was it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the other day, I watched Catch Me If You Can. I've watched it a few times, you know, but I hadn't watched it in a while. And in that movie, they say, oh, you know, why do the Yankees always win? Because you're always staring at their at the pinstripes. And then, you know, they use that a couple of times in the movies. Like at one point, he's got to get on the plane. So he surrounds himself with beautiful women, you know, flight attendants. And all the cops are just staring at the beautiful women and don't notice him walking in there behind them. And, you know, same story, you know, look over here while I'm doing something else.
Boy, it's been a while since I've seen that one. Oh, boy. Danny and Ray, they just happen to see Gonzalez talking to a priest and a nun.
Yep.
And of course, Gonzalez sees them, so he takes off. And then the chase is on. This chase.
This is great.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. So they nab the priest and the and the nun, chuck them in the back of the taxi cab, and then chase Julio. And they're, we don't find out until just a little later, but it seems pretty obvious early on that the priest and the nun had no idea what was going on. They thought they were legitimately, you know, doing service work, and turns out they've been smuggling for the drug lord. They
didn't know it. Yeah. Yeah. This chase scene ends up on the L train track. And, boy, you can see these cars taking a beating going down these tracks.
Yeah, they're driving the cars on the railroad tracks. And I'm saying, you know, halfway through this car chase, I'm like, I would have blown out five tires. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It goes on for a while.
Yep.
And eventually, I called it train. It gets just flipped over.
Yeah.
Well, the bad guys get out first, but then their car gets flipped over. I don't know how Ray and Danny got their car off those tracks, but that probably was an adventure.
Yeah.
Ran it back all the way down. Is that it?
Yeah, backed it up.
They pay a visit to the guy who gave them the airplane tip at the tattoo shop. It looks like he works there.
Yeah, the guy's name is Juan, but he's a good actor, or he's been around. Joe Petriano or something like that. But I was like, I didn't recognize him quite at first because he's so young. The movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The guy tattles about Gonzalez having another place somewhere. So I think this is where they go there. A garbage truck. This was interesting. They're sitting out there. A garbage truck comes up, picks up their car, and flips it upside down, and then Gonzalez is actually there. And can I just say, Gonzalez comes out there, and I don't want to say I'd be a dirty cop, but he makes a great offer here. I mean,
and you know, looking at your options at the moment, I would at least make him think I was going to take it. You know, all right.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, he's offering to give us a lot of money here, you know.
Well, I think Ray even says that, like, at some point when they're flipping over. <Ray's> like, why didn't we just take the thing and then double cross him or something?
Like, you got your aunt's money. I'm not. What about me?
That's right. Yeah, eventually it gets put into the garbage truck, but they escape. They get out. Car from the impound. I don't think that's how it works. But
yeah. they just took it though. Started driving off in the Mercedes. And you know, this is a top of the line Mercedes. It has the latest features like in dash cassette player.
Wait.
Car phone.
Mm-hmm.
Corded, of course. That, mm-hmm. Let's not get crazy.
I bet it does not have a detachable face. I bet it doesn't.
You're right, you know. detachable faces didn't come till CD players, right? I mean, there was never a cassette player that had a detachable face.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You might be right. I don't know. So this is the weird part, right? So Ray gets Danny. Is this where he gets Danny to call the other detectives and tell them that the lady he's banging's boyfriend knows where Gonzalez is? What is this? What are you doing?
Right, they're just driving around town, having a good time in the Mercedes, screwing with everybody. Because everybody knows this is Julio's car. Because they're like, there's never been another Mercedes in Chicago, right?
And this is like a Lambo or something.
Right? How many people could possibly? It's got to be Mr. Beast coming through the neighborhood because nobody else is that rich.
Yeah, then they pull off and they're like, oh, you're not Julio. Like,
yeah, they all are like that too. They're all like, that's Julio's car. That ain't Julio. That's Julio's car. But that ain't Julio.
Yeah.
I love the line where he goes, no, we're just looking for a Menudo concert. And I'm like, what? that's the artist you use in this movie?
It would have made more sense if they had said Doja Cat, of course.
Oh, there you go.
Not in the 80s.
There you go. There you go.
So then they get a phone call, and then they decide to prank the noobs and tell them that Ray's girlfriend's boyfriend is the perp or something. And so they go bust him, and while they do that, they snag the girlfriend and go have some more debauchery.
Yeah, I mean, you can put some of this on Ray, but boy, it's not taking a lot of twisting her arm.
No, it's true.
Oh boy.
No, it's like the boyfriend's out. I'm gonna go play.
Yeah. So Ray and her take off to have a good night, and then Danny's ex shows up, hanging out at his place. And he's just like, so you want to bang?
Yeah, you gotta try. You gotta throw it out there.
And she's like, yes. Wait, no.
Oh, wait a minute. No take back.
Mm-hmm. No take backs. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as she's leaving, she decides not to make it with Danny.
Yeah, her visit there leads to her being taken hostage by Gonzalez, which leads Danny to make another unscheduled visit to the bedroom of Ray while he's banging in a blue light.
Yep. Mid-bang, we got boobs. He's cool. Let's go take care of it. She had nothing to say. She's like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
but he was so cool and calm and collected. I was like, what kind of reaction is this? Somebody just walks in, shuts everything off, and goes, he took so and so. Like, how is your brain even there to comprehend anything.
We don't know the sequence of events. You know, this might have been round three or something.
It doesn't matter. The reaction was totally not what I was expecting.
These are young, virile 36-year-olds.
Go get me some water. I need a break.
I need water.
Young 36-year-olds. These guys, man. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. So they're like, you know what? It's the middle of winter. Let's take the motorcycle out. Sounds like a good idea to me.
They didn't, that way they had a lot of options.
Yeah, they're poor cars, man. I mean, come on. Ray tries to go to the evidence room because Gonzalez wants his coke.
Mm-hmm.
His bag's a coke.
Trading coke for the girl. That was the deal.
So Ray goes to the evidence room and he's like, yeah, I need all this coke. And the guy's like, well, that's a lot of coke.
I can't just give it to you.
He's like, I'm going to call the captain. While Danny pretends to be the captain and tells them, well, you can only give him all that coke if his partner shows up.
He's like, I can't give it to you without your partner here. You know, then Danny takes some time and he walks in. He goes, what happened? Chief just, McNulty just chewed me out.
Damn it, McNulty. So they get all the coke. They're meeting up, I can't remember, some building with a lot of security. I don't know.
It looked like a mall of some type.
It was Chicago building. I don't know.
But Gonzalez has put all his guys have taken the spots of all the security.
Yeah.
And so Ray's like, I'm going to throw on this window washer rig and scale to the top of this building. Yeah.
That seemed interesting. Yeah, because he caught Juan, who showed him where the security guards were all tied up. And he's like, yo, how do I get to the top of the building without being seen? He's like, you can't. I mean, unless you take the window washing rope. I'm like, oh, God. Here we go. And then he's like pulling himself up. He's like, it's like pulling on a rope to pull yourself up the window. I'm like, man, that looks like a lot of work. I would have quit two stories up and be like, no, this is not working.
I would have quit.
Even if you did make it, you know, by the time you were up that high, your arms would have been dead. Just,
oh boy.
Dead.
Yes.
But then he got stuck. When he came back down, when he came through the window, got stuck hanging. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He had no signs of being thrown through glass.
Duck just hitting the middle of the building. He's fine.
He's just hanging in the middle of the building, the worst spot you can be in, right? Hanging there. Danny's shows Gonzalez his coke. We got Danny in an elevator, his ex-wife next to him in an elevator. Gonzalez across the way. He shows him the coke. Gonzalez tries to kill him, I think.
Yeah.
What happens here.
Which, I don't know how he didn't succeed, because they're in glass, you know, elevators. He got a machine gun. They had nowhere to go. Like, how did you not succeed in this endeavor here?
I have no idea, because there's a lot of shooting. The other detectives show up in the middle of all this shooting. They eventually...
There was some fun 80s suspenseful music going on. I enjoyed that.
Oh, it's great. Right. It's so great. These movies. I love it. Well, eventually, Gonzalez gets shot a lot. And then you got Ray and Danny arguing over who actually killed him.
I got it!
Nobody did.
Yeah, he was still alive. He was hurt, but he's just not quite dead.
All you gotta do is shoot him some more. Take care of your problem. So now he's dead. Boy, good luck explaining this one to the captain, right?
Oh, man. But you know what? If you're looking for a way to hook up with your ex-wife, saving her life and killing the bad guys, destroying the coke, well done.
Yep. No dentist is doing that.
No way. No way. Celebrate with some cigars.
Well, then they're like, I guess we're not retiring. What?
Yeah.
All right. Set up the sequel that never happened. Still running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the name that never happened. Oh, that's Running Scared. Yeah, I didn't think it was too bad.
I said, you know what? We've done much worse, and we've done better. So it's nicely in the middle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's really true.
Yes. Much worse.
Yeah.
Probably like the next movie.
Ooh. What do you got for us coming up next week, man? What's your plans?
Since I'm going to Vegas, I had to do a movie that had something to do with Vegas. And I'll just tell you the main star of this movie, and this will be the main star, Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle.
All right.
Okay. Now, on Amazon, it's called Blast Vegas. Anywhere else, like on IMDb, it's called Destruction : Las Vegas. But it looks like, I think it's a bachelor group go to Vegas. We may have some evil things. There's some kind of evil dust storm or something. I don't know. I didn't pay too much attention to it, but it looked really bad. So, yeah, it looks really bad. It really does.
Closest thing we had to a Vegas movie was the one where they took the party bus to the Burning Man. Remember Hell Bus or something? What was it?
Tara Reid and her bus party to hell.
That's it, right? That's the closest we've been to Vegas so far.
Number 98, bus party to hell. Well, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. But yeah, Blast Vegas.
Blast. It's got a good title.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. Thanks, Amy. I hope you come back.
Thanks for having me.
You get to pick if you come back, That's maybe great. We'll get all four of us.
Ooh, a foursome.
We'll get a good one.
Yes, they say two's company, but three gets us talked about.
What's four?
What's four?
All right. Well, I will talk to you guys later.
All right. Till then.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.